y'all ain't really ready. Go bro, go bro, go bro, go bro, go bro.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your boy Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Men Radio Show. You know how we do. And man, tonight, you know how we do, man. We always pulling something out the hat. We got a special guest on the air with us tonight, man. Our boy Big Brent came up in the studio to get on this track, man. He is our de facto special guest and knowledge guru of the NBA and basketball. Since it takes us a little longer to get up to speed, we had to bring somebody that was already up to speed. So, Big Drake, what's up with your boy?
Hey. Once again, it's always good to be back on the air with my family. I know it's been a little long, it's been a little lengthy. We've had some things come up that's uncontrollable, but it's always to be back on with the Made Men family.
Yes, sir, baby. And you're live in the dungeon, I suspect, Big Drake.
Yes, Brent and I are in the dungeon looking at my crystal clear, beautiful, 60-inch Samsung plasma screen TV that's selling those delicious Alabama tickets bought me. So it was great. So the very first game I ever watched on my big screen TV was the Iron Bowl. And we all know how that ended.
All right, man, we got to bring it on, Big Brent. What's up with you, Brent?
Hello, sir. Glad to have you home tonight. But being home with you, I apologize. It's very nice to be with two guys that know sports and like to talk sports. And I'm really enjoying this opportunity. Hope that I can share some of my knowledge with you.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure, man, to have you on up to speed. I'm still going to need y'all two to sit a little further away from each other so we don't have both of y'all at the same time. Double time, because I think Big Drake probably has his earpiece on, and so we catch
it. You know it.
We still catching feedback on. So Brent will get in the other corner, which again, in the dungeon, you can still see the beautiful 60-inch, no matter what side you're sitting in the room. So again, man, Brent, we're just coming out of football season, and so it takes me and Big Drake a little bit of time to get adjusted. But I know you've been watching the NBA, been watching a lot of college basketball. So we don't typically talk as much until football season's over about the basketball game. But now that it's over, I was aware this week, man, that in the college game, the number one team got knocked off. And if I'm not mistaken, now they have been knocked off twice since the start of the week that they came in undefeated. That was the Syracuse Big Orange, man. Did you watch either one of those games, Brent?
I did. I watched. I'm a big Duke fan. That's my team since I was a little kid. Love Coach.
College minds I've ever seen. He gets the most out of those guys, and it's just a pleasure to watch them play. And I have to admit, watching them take down Syracuse, even though there was a little bit of a dispute there at the end of the game, I believe the right call was made and the right team won that game.
Of course you do, because your Duke Blue Devils took it.
Yes.
Big Drake said, uh-oh, because you walked into a hornet's nest about our feelings sometimes with the Duke University. A stereotypical team that he always puts on. But you know, to his credit, though, like you said, though, he knows what he likes. He knows what fits his system. He go gets what he wants, and he produces when he puts him on the court. You can't argue with success, you know?
Oh, no, that's true. But I mean, I'm personally just not a Duke fan. I'm so much not a Duke fan. If they were playing with Tampa Tech, I'm pulling for with Tampa Tech.
Big Drake feels about Duke basketball like I feel about Notre Dame football.
Yes. And see, the irony of it all is I'm a big Notre Dame football fan. Well, most people don't like Notre Dame football. But on that, I am not taking anything from Coach K, because he is an awesome coach. I mean, obviously, he continues to make it to the NCAA tournament and, usually places pretty high, goes pretty far. I just, I guess the way you feel about Notre Dame football, everybody always talks about, I guess you feel the same thing with Duke. I mean, you know, I have nothing against Duke or nothing against the coach because they're great. It's just that, you know, everybody always puts Duke on a pedestal, but I guess at the same token, they have a reason to be put on because they're always winning.
Right. Unlike Notre Dame now. I mean, that's my problem. I mean,
Notre Dame has had some decent seasons, but if you take the past 10 years, then no. I mean, they've had some 2-8 seasons, some 3-9 seasons.
Right.
Yeah.
But Duke, like I said, Coach K, man, and you know, one thing, you know, we always talk about Coach K and kind of, you know, the stereotypical player that he likes and the clean-cut people that he likes on his team. But you know, this is still also the same coach to show, I think, the diversity in his coaching ability. This is the same coach that took the ragtag bunch of NBA ballers, you know, super prima donnas, and also turned them and took them and won brought the gold medal back home with him. So – like I said, there's no question about his coaching ability at any level of basketball, I think.
Yes, I completely agree. I think as a kid, I met Grant Hill when he was playing for Duke, and I think that's probably what started it for me. He came and spoke at one of my basketball camps, and we got to talk about the time where he threw the ball three-quarters court to Christian Laettner to win on the last-second shot. And from that point on, I was hooked. Just love the way that they play. But every good team that you see has haters. You know, I mean, no matter which kind of sport, whatever sport it is, they're going to have some haters. You know, I mean, you look at the Patriots. The Patriots have haters. It's because they're good. You know, I mean, if you don't have haters, it probably means you suck.
Well, listeners out there, I can tell you, this is the first time I have ever been called a hater, not only on my own radio show, but in my own house, my own bedroom. This is breaking news on the Megan radio
plain
show.
Disrespect. Wow. Plain disrespect. Be called a hater in your own dungeon on your radio show.
Wow. So this will be my first and last appearance on the radio.
You've been great, Brent. Seems like we have a technical difficulties. You got disconnected.
Yeah. But you know what, fellas? Really, I mean, you know, we're talking about college basketball. We talk about the number one team. They lost twice this week, and this is the reason why it's hard for me, and I'm pretty sure you two teams, to kind of get in the basketball. Well, Brent, listeners out there, Brent has the physique of a basketball player. He's 6'1", 6'2", and he's skinny. Kingpin and I, you know, I'm 6'5", I'm over 300 pounds. Kingpin was 300, he lost some weight, but we're a big guy, so we connect more with football. Mm-hmm. But to get to my point, the number one team lost twice, you know, this week. They're still okay. They're still going to make the playoffs. Football, the number one team lost one game. And, you know, thankfully that was to that boy Eagles. Yep. The number one team lost one game, and pretty much their season was shot.
Then you're playing for pride. you're playing for pride.
And, you know, I guess that's why for me it's a little difficult up until the NCAA tournament starts for me to really get into college basketball.
Yeah, I completely agree. Ratings at this point honestly don't matter that much. I mean, it helps with the season in the tournament, but even in the tournament you see, you know, some brackets are completely loaded up and some brackets that are not. So the seedings, rankings this early in the year still don't matter that much.
So I got a question for you, Brent. Looking over the rankings here, Syracuse was number one, undefeated and lost two games. Florida was sitting in that number two spot with two losses as well. And then sitting in the three hole, you got Wichita State still undefeated. Yeah. Does Wichita State ascend to the number one position right now after the Pierce rankings come out?
I personally do not think that they deserve it. I think that if you look at just who they play, it's just hard to say that they're a better team. Now, the fact that they've done what they've done, they deserve to be in the top five. I mean, I believe they'll get that number one seed in the tournament, you know, as long as they don't have anything that messes up in the next few weeks. But they look good. I mean, they've got a great team. I love the way they move the ball. They play as a team. They've got some guys who can shoot the lights out. But I can't put them ahead of Florida or Arizona. I mean, I think that both of those teams just have more talent. I mean, they're deeper. They have more athleticism, and I think you get Wichita State having to play that many games in a row in a tournament that they'll just you'll start to see their weakness.
But now this is the same Wichita State that took it to, was it the Elite Eight or the Final Four last year?
The Final Four.
Yeah, that's
Final Four. They did.
So, and again, they was talked to, some of the same stuff was talked about when they went deep into the tournament last year, was did they have enough experience coming from a much weaker division to be able to handle the grind of the big college game on the big stage. And last year they proved that they could. So, you know, I'm kind of like Big Drake, too. I don't really watch until tournament time. Because, again, now I do love college basketball into the fact that you can get the underdog, you get the Cinderellas, whatever you want to call them. You got a shot in college basketball. Because one game, anything can happen. And all you got to do is have your best game or somebody else's worst game, and you can tap that head and get them out of that tournament, man. But it seemed as if last year Wichita State put together more than just one great game because they were able to go deep into the tournament. And so I wonder if what they did last year, causes anybody to have even any additional thoughts when talking about, just kind of as what Brent said, is whether or not they deserve to be considered in that number one ranked spot.
Yeah, I think that, like in every sport, year to year, you have to take teams differently. I think that you have to look at what they've done this year. I mean, they have one overtime game where they won by three. They beat Alabama by 5 points. I mean, and we see how well Alabama's doing this year. Of course, that's just always looking for a shot to take Alabama. I'll take it. And Tennessee, you know, they barely beat them 8 or 9 points, I think it was. So, I just don't see it this year. I mean, you never know. I'll say it. In basketball, get hot at the right time. Anybody can make a run. You get some breaks here and there, and anything can happen. I just have a hard time looking at them and what they've done this year. They're looking at Florida and Arizona and saying that they're a better team.
I think that's a fair statement, man. I don't think many people could argue with that. I think you bring some very valid points, man. So, all right. So switching gears a little bit, man. NBA got a chance to watch first of all, you know, breaking news today, guys. Jason Collins signs a 10-day contract to play with the Nets. And it's all over ESPN. It's the sports ticker. They got press conferences. And I'm like, really? 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 He signed a 10-day contract. If Manute Bol wanted to play right now, they'd probably give Manute Bol a 10-day. Oh, Manute Bol died, didn't he? Did Manute Bol die?
Yeah. I don't know, but Manute Bol, I mean, you're reaching way back.
I mean,
way back. I thought you might have said they somebody. You came out with Manute Bol.
You know, my favorite line about Manute Bol is from Bill Simmons in his book of basketball.
Uh-huh.
He says that there's certain people in life that just take your breath away. And he said it wasn't that Manute Bol was just so tall. It was that Manute Bol was purple. If you look at it, it looked purple.
It's the darkest person I've ever seen in my life. And the fact that he's 7'8" or whatever he is, I mean, just adds to it. It's like, wow. A really tall ghost just entered the room. So regardless, my point was, there are a plethora of people. Big Drake, if you went to the right camp, bro, I think they'd give you a 10-day contract. Why is this breaking news? Why
come on,
breaking
come
news?
On, man. We all know why it's breaking news. We all know that. Because
he's an incognito.
He's an Oakland gay player, and he, you know, I guess he'll be the first open gay player to be in the NBA.
He actually will become the first openly gay player in any of the four major professional leagues. Okay. You know, so
I mean,
he's not in the league. He signed a 10-day contract. I'm sorry, he's not in the league.
Yeah, and there's a reason that he got cut, and it wasn't because
he was gay.
Of his sexual.
Yeah, nothing to do with his sexual preference.
No, nothing to do with him cutting dudes.
That's right. Yeah, he got cut, and the cut wasn't because he was cutting people, dudes. He's not that good. That's what he was. He's been on like 15 teams.
Well, okay, you kind of open up the box, and I have to jump in. And of course, if I jump in, I'm gonna kind of throw it back on football a little bit. So. Listeners, Kingpin, Brent, you just bear with me. Since we're talking about openly gay athletes, you know the young man from Missouri, the defensive end.
Michael Sam.
Michael Sam?
Yeah.
You know, he's openly gay, and he has come out, and he's going into the NFL draft, and I kind of want to, you know what, I say let's just go all the way with this. I want to hear what you guys think about him coming out, him getting drafted, where you think he might go, and also because we're talking about homosexual people, we need to talk about Incognito, and we need to talk about Martin, because you don't know, but it is our theory. Incognito and Martin, that's the two offensive linemen from the Miami Dolphins. Well, the theory that Kingpin and I have, which I think we're dead on,
the substantiated theory of the Made Men radio show.
Yes, they are in a sexual relationship.
In a homosexual relationship.
And I know recently, I guess a week ago, some more text messages came out.
Yeah.
So
on top of, let me get you this, Big Drake, because this adds to what we've always said. On top of, it was news that last night or night before last, Incognito left the club with five women. As he continues to pull a Terrell Owens and try to make sure no one ever questions his sexuality by trying to cover his homosexual tendencies with his overcompensating with as many women. Five women? Really, fat boy? Really? Come on, man. Come on, fat boy.
Knowing you like dudes.
No, yeah, you're right. Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm sure they all went willy, too. Right. There was no money involved.
Exactly. Yeah, Brent, I'm the same way. Or it was drug, where they drug out. So
yeah, no, that's a good possibility.
All right, so, and I agree, man. Like, so to me, again, this is blowing my mind. It's not blowing my mind. This is what the world wants us to do. And Brent, I have no clue of how you feel about this, but it's getting on my nerves. It really is. For why is it such a big deal? All right, if people, and this is my problem right here. I'm gonna get on my soapbox real quick. If your claim is that you just want to be treated like everyone else, then why must you always tiptoe ballerina all out in front of everybody, all of your business? Yeah. Why not? If you make the announcement, that's cool, and then be gone. Just shut up and do your business. All I really care about is you're going to produce on the field, bro. That's it. Come out on the field, do your job, and go to the house and shut up. Right now, I'm tired of hearing about Michael Sam. They all at the combine, talking about how fast he run. And the only thing I got to say is, who at the finish line? They'll tell you how fast he's going to run. But I'm just saying, I mean, I'm tired of hearing about all this. You know, why does it matter? Jason Collins signed a 10-day contract. And it's breaking news on ESPN, for real?
Yeah.
They asked press conference.
Who was the last fifth-round pick making so much noise
exactly. In
the combine? In fifth round may be generous.
I agree, man. I agree. I mean, so it's just, to me, it appears to be you are attention seeker more than you really trying to bring positive light to your cause, as I use air quotes, you know, because your cause, then just do you know, you made the announcement, I'm gay, blah, 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 whatever. Now, to me, Now, what really brings merit to your cause is if you've announced that you're openly gay and you have now shut up and went in the league and balled out.
Yeah.
That's what brings cause. That's what brings is. That's what shuts people up about your cause right there. It's like, oh,
Sam's. I'm gonna take Sam's defense. I'm gonna take his defense just for the simple fact. Because when he came out, my wife said the same thing. Well, why do this? He's wanting attention. Well, as the story goes and all the interviews happen, his team already knew.
Yep.
And since his team knew, you know, these NFL executives and scouts, they do some, you know, extensive research, and they interviewed people, and it had gotten out that he was gay. And he didn't want, you know, I believe that if they hadn't found out, he would have just went on playing, and he may have come out to his teammates or whatever, but he just went on playing, it would have been a public thing. But he had the fear that they were going to make it public, and he didn't want it to be on their terms.
He wanted to control it.
He didn't want to get it on. Now, yes, the rumors are true. I'm gay. So,
well,
and
isn't it amazing to y'all that he made it a full year where he told his teammates and that many people in the locker room didn't let it get out become a big deal?
I thought it was pretty amazing, too.
Yeah.
Because he told his guys last spring before the season started.
Right. And see, I'm thinking the same thing is going on in the NFL, the NBA, the NBA, the soccer. I'm thinking of everything. I'm thinking that there are players that have come out to their teammates and say, hey, I'm gay. But I'm not ready to tell the world. I don't want to tell the world because it's not the world's business. But I just want to tell you guys because we're family. And that's probably, you know, ironically, brings these men closer together just for the simple fact, hey, we're being honest with each other here and we can go ahead on and move forward. Because, you know, everybody knows my view. Do I agree with it? No. But that don't mean I'm going to hate and ostracize and
treat you different.
Treat you different. Hey, I'm on the team. I got your back. You got my back. Let's win games. Whether it's football, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever it is, let's win games. Now, once the job is done as far as practice or game or whatever and meetings and all that, you go do your thing over there, and I do my thing over here. But in the locker room, when it's time to perform, I want you to perform at your highest level. And if you look at him, once he came out to his teammates because he didn't have that pressure on his back, he was an SEC defensive player of the year.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think he wanted to control it on his terms. I don't think he came out to bring all the hoopla, but he has done several interviews now, and I guess it's hard to kind of run from it or back down once you do something like this. But to me, kind of now, I kind of like not to see him anymore, and just kind of go and take care of business. And I wonder whether or not for him too, it was almost that. Well, I don't want nobody to think I'm truly trying to hide anything. Because to him, he said, I ain't been hiding anymore. I've been living my life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I ain't been doing any hiding. I just let everybody know. But I ain't been trying to hide it. And so I guess he didn't want it to be, the hush-hush secret that keeps me or keeps you from drafting me because I'm hiding something or because you think so. And then nobody want to say nothing about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what, I'll talk about it. Then you can feel comfortable talking about it, and then maybe that'll break the ice and let that not be a secretive reason why you don't draft me.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I say whatever team drafts him, the very first thing that you do is set him a dentist appointment and get him hooked up with a dental plan.
Yes, sir.
Spend some of that cheese on him.
They need to give him a dental plan immediately. If you're going to be on TV talking a whole lot, you might want to get the TV straight, bro.
I'm just saying, he kissed guys. I'm just saying, just throw it out. I'm not making an insinuation that, you know, people that homosexuals have jacked up teeth or nothing, but he do kiss guys. That's all I'm telling you, bro.
So are you saying that kissing guys make your teeth crooked?
Is that what you're saying? He kiss guys. He do kiss guys. I don't know what people that kiss guys' teeth look like, but he kiss guys and his teeth jacked up. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, bro. All right, so again, today we had the 10-day contract signed by Jason Collins. All right, so everybody good with that? We straight? All right, so now let's talk about action basketball, because I'm tired of hearing about it. He going across the screen again. And he's 35 years old. Really? I don't understand this. Allen Iverson is somewhere talking about, did y'all really just make news about that? But y'all want to talk about me for practice? We talk about practice, dog. And y'all talk about a 10-day contract for the gate, dude. I don't understand. All right, man, so NBA, who's balling right now? I see a lot of stuff about Kobe. Well, hold on, let me hit this. So NBA trade deadline passed this week. The only big move was the big trade from Evan Turner traded to the Indianapolis Pacers for Danny Granger. Man,
I didn't know about that one. Whoa.
Yeah.
And they said Danny Granger was pissed that he's committed his entire, his entire basketball career has been with the Indiana Pacers. He was there when they sucked. He was the only all-star. He gets hurt. Y'all get close to getting, making over the hump, making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and y'all ship him out. I heard he was pretty pissed about the whole situation.
Yeah. Well, we're not in the locker room, and we don't know. Because the George kid, he is a superstar of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a pretty good team. They got the Stevens kid, that's a point guard. He's been scoring. He's having the best year stat-wise that he's had. You got George. You got Hibbert down low. You got Wes. He's huge. I mean, they have like the biggest statue-wise team in the NBA.
Yeah.
And who knows if he was comfortable were coming off the bench, because that's what he needs to come off of. And he may, I'm not saying it is, because we don't know, but we're speculating, and if we didn't speculate, there wouldn't be any sports shows.
That's right.
So maybe he didn't want to come off the bench, and they're like, well, if he's going to try to be a distraction to our team, we're going to go ahead and trade him for Evan Turner, who's going to come in and know his role.
Well, I think you see clearly, there was something going on just by his reaction. I mean, the fact that he would be so upset that he'd act the way that he's acting, my guess is you don't always, if you act that way in these tough times, you were acting that way during the locker room as well. So there's probably some of that already going on where you started to see how he was, and you see that it was time that they probably needed to do something to get over that hump, because the way he's playing right now, they ain't going to do it without doing something. So they needed a spark. They needed someone to come off the bench and be fiery and give them that energy. And I personally think it was a good move for them.
I think it was a great move for them as well. As far as whether or not what the locker room stuff, I question whether or not that it was actually the opposite, and that's what's making him so pissed, because he's like, hold on. I've backseated to the new superstar because he was Paul George's mentor as well. So Paul George was upset about it, losing his mentor. Whether or not it really was that, hey, I've backseated to a superstar. I know I got hurt. I know I'm not the player I am, but I've done everything y'all asked me to do. And then y'all going to ship me out? I've taken the back seat. I'm like the fourth or fifth scoring option. That's cool. I do it. When you need 6 points, guess what? I give you them six hard, boy. I give you six. But y'all going to ship me out? Because they even say he dropped by and gave people hugs, and people was crying and all this other stuff. I mean, it was a really messy scene. A family member left.
We all know in the sports industry, it is strictly business. Unfortunate, the days of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, those days are gone in the NBA. You're lucky you stay with one team for 5 years.
I agree.
And it appears that Tim Duncan is going to be the last dude to kind of do that. And Kobe Bryant. I'm going to be the last to catch.
So I'm with Big Brent. I think they dramatically improved their team. But now I question whether or not you did trade what's going to now be a locker room issue. Because remember, you traded for Evan Turner, who was averaging 17 a game as the starter over there, and you trade him with the explicit purpose that he give you a spark off the bench. So with trying to better your team, did you not do more harm by now bringing some chemistry issues for somebody that may not be comfortable taking a relegated role on a new team?
Yeah.
You know, that's always that tricky situation. So that was the only major trade. I think Steve Blake got traded. Kobe was mad about that. It really seems as if, you know, every article I've seen about Kobe in the last 2 months, it's Kobe kind of sounding like a owner. You know, the articles are really more Mark Cuban-ish. You know, Kobe came out. He didn't like that somebody was laid out on the bench during the game. Kobe came out. He didn't like that Steve Blake got traded. Kobe came out. He don't like the day. He don't like the new shirts. I mean, it's kind of really Mark Cuban-ish. And have the Lakers put themselves in a situation with Kobe Bryant to where they are not going to be able to handle or manage the beast that they've created?
I think they can't wait for the day Kobe Bryant retires. I think they are sitting back saying, we are going to not be good until we get rid of this guy, but because of what he's done for us, we're going to just play it out for a couple years. Hopefully we can get by and satisfy
the Tony. We think they're tanking on purpose.
You have to say that half the league is doing that. I mean, look at the Eastern Conference. I mean, Toronto's in stinking third place right now. How did that happen? You know, I think half the league is tanking. Everybody's looking at this draft saying, I want to have that chance to get that guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at SportsCenter, and they just showed a picture of the Canadian gold medal hockey team, and it's like this one big black dude on there. That was a little shocking. That was John. I'm back in.
I've never seen black people in Canada. I didn't know black people were in Canada.
And he's black too. He got like a mid afro. I mean, he looked like me. He's dark, you know. Hey, man, I did it.
Hey, that should be like Jason Collins news right there.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, by the way, the
black dudes win gold medal in hockey in the Winter Olympics.
For Canada.
That too. Yeah.
I better read that.
That's breaking news right there, buddy. You heard it here first on the Made New Radio Show. Breaking news.
So yeah. Brent thinks that the Lakers are tanking. Well, and I think your reference was less to their performance this season and more to them just kind of resigned to their fate of having to deal with Kobe until he leaves.
I do. I feel like they came to a point where they can't get rid of him because of how much it would impact them financially. I mean, regardless, he draws me
to see him. He is the Lakers.
He is the Lakers. You're right. And you know, you see what it's like without him. I mean, they still draw a pretty good crowd, but that excitement is not in that arena. Of course, it's kind of hard when you're losing most every game, but it's just sad to see.
I mean, right now the Pelicans have a far better record than the Lakers. The Pelicans at 23-32.
Why you gotta say it like that? Why you gotta say it like that?
The Lakers at 19-36. That, you know, there's only a few teams that's shooting better than the Lakers. You know, the Bucks shooting better than the Lakers.
And they're all doing it on purpose, I think. I feel like they're just not even trying. They don't even want it.
Everybody waiting for this big draft. You know, the problem with waiting on that, man, is, you know, and I think that, you know, I think Kobe is a part of the Lakers problem. We've talked on the Made Me Radio Show. The other part of the Lakers problem is that the owner's son has made it his personal vendetta to destroy this team single-handedly, come out of the water, regardless of what anybody else thinks about it.
Well, it seems he's being successful.
Yes, he is. He is. And I think, you know, the more I watch them with D'Antoni as their coach, I mean, it's just – I mean, the dumber it looks that, you know, this was the stupidest decision in the world to make D'Antoni the coach of this team. I mean, you know, when I look over the league, I would probably think D'Antoni would be a great coach for 76ers, maybe. The Bucks. Yeah. The Wizards. Yo, somebody like that? Yeah, D'Antoni.
The Bobcats?
Ball Market.
No, not even Bobcats. Bobcats got Al Jefferson. So you got a big plotter that you don't want. He would be a great coach for somebody whose team is built on a young quick backcourt. That's it. Everybody else, y'all step to the side, man, because he's not. It's not the Lakers. I tell you that it's not the Lakers.
Well, he shows up and his two stars are Steve Nash and Kobe Bryant, both of them over the 35. That's just dangerous.
Far close. Kobe Bryant and Steve Nash collectively, or even individually, have more NBA years experience than over half of the coaches in the NBA. They have more experience in the NBA than half of the coaches in the NBA, man. Hey, fellas, I want y'all to sit tight, man. We're going to go to a little short break, man, and come on back. We're going to talk some more NBA, and then we're going to talk some NFL Combine news as well before we get out of here for these show, man. So y'all folks sit tight, man. Hey, it's the Made Men Radio Show. You know how we do tonight, man. We got our boy Big Brent on with your boy Kingpin and Big Drake, and he's breaking down some of the ins and outs of the basketball season, trying to get me and Big Drake caught up to speed, man, on this NBA and NCAA game that's going on as we are weaning ourselves off of the now ended football season. So, man, come on back. Tell your folks, man, check out the Made Men Radio Show. Pass the word on to somebody else. Tell them these boys is crazy. And you know we're going to keep it live, keep it jumping, keep your side splitting, laughing, chuckling all the time. Plus, we're going to keep you pretty informed, man. Hey, I'm playing a little bit of my boy Flame. Go wild, go hard. You know how your boy do. We play that Struck Crunk Christian music, Christian hip-hop, man, all day, every day. It's your boy, Kingpin, Big Drake, Made Men Radio Show. Come on back for the second episode.
You're new to the faith, and truly that's great. Yeah, that's enough to make the angels in heaven celebrate. And have a party over one shorty that truly escaped the wrath of the Father, cause Abba has now given them grace. There is joy in the heavens when the sinner repents. Way over 99, who's already convinced. So when you see this and you think it, we ain't got no sense. It's totally due to the fact that we've been given the gift. See, we're ignited like a volcano blast, and we're having the same party that the angels are had. In the heavens, all in the presence of the anchor we have. Let us peace, no longer beef, no longer anger and dad. So when you see us get fucked with our hands in the sky, yep, here we go again. Go
ain't no fuck, gotta 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 ain't no y'all ain't really ready. Go!